Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 2:18 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. Before we begin, I want to thank Robert Montenegro, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Madison Truitt from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Kopp, Representative Shaw, my Vice Chair, Representative Stutz, and myself, Representative Klayman. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is House Bill 14, Assault, Sex Offenses, Sends Aggravator, sponsored by Representative Lincoln, who is here with us today. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. Here to introduce the bill is Rose Foley, staff to Representative Lincoln. And although my script suggests Representative Lincoln and his resources, he is not. He's live and here with us. Please come forward and identify for yourself for the record, and you can begin your remarks. And I would just note to members of the committee, because we were a bit delayed by the finance subcommittees, that we're going to hold off on any questions to the presenters when they make their presentation, because we have several people that would like to testify. So I want to get through the public hearing today, and then we'll take up questions if time allows as soon as the public hearing is completed. Representative Lincoln, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, I'm John Lincoln, representative for House District 40. House Bill 14 classifies the act of ejaculating on a person without their consent as a sex crime and recognizes the serious nature of strangulation to the point of unconsciousness by classifying that act as a first-degree assault and including it in the list of aggravating factors for sentencing. In the fall of 2018, a plea deal agreement illuminated the fact that ejaculating on a person without their consent could not be prosecuted as a sex offense in Alaska. This bill enhances sexual assault statutes by adding unwanted contact with ejaculate to the definitions of sexual contact. HB 14 also acknowledges the seriousness of strangulation. Strangulation is prevalent in domestic violence incidences, and 56% of women murdered in Alaska in 2017 were killed by an intimate partner. A study published by the Journal of Emergency Medicine found that a prior non-fatal strangulation increases a woman's likelihood of becoming a homicide victim by 700%, and non-fatal strangulation preceded 43% of domestic homicides. This bill recognizes the gravity of strangulation as a precursor to future violent crimes. I'd also like to take just a brief moment to thank many organizations of people who have helped with crafting this legislation. They include 49th Rising, No More Free Passes, the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, the Public Defender's Office, Department of Law, and several co-sponsors, including yourself, Representative Klayman, Representative Fields, Sponholz, Tarr, Tuck, Sulkowski, Hopkins, Drummond, and Ledoux. And would you like us to go through a sectional analysis?
That'd be great.
Okay, and I'll ask Rose Foley to do that.
For the record, Rose Foley, staff to Representative Lincoln. Section 1 of the bill before you classifies strangulation to the point of unconsciousness as assault in the first degree. Section 2 clarifies that a dangerous instrument includes hands or other body parts, such as a forearm, which is commonly used in strangulation. Section 3 includes in the definition of sexual contact the defendant's knowingly causing the victim to come into contact with ejaculate. Section 4 would add strangulation to the point of unconsciousness to the list of aggravating factors that can be considered at sentencing. And Section 5 establishes that the provisions in this legislation are applicable only to crimes committed on or after the effective date.
Thank you very much. Do you have more for your presentation? Not required, just checking.
Nope, we're happy to respond to questions when that's appropriate.
Okay. So what we're going to do, as I said before, we're going to go ahead and open the public hearing so we can hear from folks that are either here in the room or online to provide public testimony, and then after that we'll get to questions. So I'm going to open public testimony on HB 14, and we'll start with start actually with invited public testimony. I think Isaac Williams. Mr. Isaac Williams or Elizabeth, I think Isaac's online. Mr. Williams, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, and we generally try to limit public testimony to about 2 minutes, so if you would proceed and be sure to identify yourself and any group you're affiliated with.
Hi, I'm Isaac Williams, calling from Anchorage on behalf of the organization No War Free Passes.
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'd like to thank Representative Lincoln again for bringing this bill forward. At No More Free Passes, we are very much in support of this bill. As Representative Lincoln already touched on, the driving force behind this bill is the Justin Schneider case and sentencing. And we believe that while this bill may not fix 100% of the issues in our criminal justice statutes, that it fixes the loopholes that were exposed in that bill, and that it will go a long way to restoring the public's confidence, and that this is exactly what was needed to fix those issues. In particular, both of the things in this bill have attracted a lot of attention, so we're really happy that, in particular, the strangulation piece is addressed here, because it's one of the most dangerous and horrific things that can happen to the victim, and it's really important that that's being singled out in this bill. I won't go on talking too long on this, but I would like to bring up that in the companion Senate bill, there's been some recent changes that I'd like to make the committee aware of, specifically in that in the Senate Judiciary Committee process, a provision was added for having to do with victim notification, requiring a prosecutor to make a reasonable effort to contact a victim about a potential plea deal and receive the input of the victim. And we believe that would be that's a really good change that was made there. There was also a change to address strangulation that is not to the point of unconsciousness. And since only strangulation to the point of unconsciousness is addressed in this bill, and it raises the penalties from 0 to 2 years to 1 to 3, so that way both types of strangulation, either to unconsciousness or not to unconsciousness, are addressed. And so just like to put those in front of the committee and ask you to consider those provisions that are made in the Senate, potentially incorporating them into this bill as well.
So you're a little bit past the two-minute mark. Do you want to conclude your remarks, please?
Yeah. So, again, just would like to thank you for bringing this bill forward and how important it is for our state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions. Next, we've got Janelle Manchester calling from Fairbanks. Ms. Manchester, and if you're affiliated with the group, please let us identify yourself and who you're affiliated with.
Hello, this is Janelle Manchester on behalf of 49th Rising. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Just make sure you're not on a speakerphone.
Not on speakerphone?
Not on speakerphone. We hear you much better when it's a handset.
Is this better?
That is better. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. All right. 49th Rising is a nonpartisan organization working to make Alaska as safe as it is beautiful. Alaska has the highest rate of a reported sexual assault in the country. We've all heard this before. Yet we just need to look at our friends or sometimes in the mirror to see the ocean of pain behind this reality. According to UAA's Justice Center, 1 in 3 Alaskan women has experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. Based on our firsthand experiences, we know that even those numbers are underestimates. 49th Rising endorses HB 14, as this bill will help address deficiencies in the current legislation, such as with regards to strangulation. As Representative Lincoln brought up earlier, strangulation is often associated with sexual and domestic violence and is a form of power and control which has devastating physical and mental impact on victims. One study that Representative Lincoln mentioned found that women who had been strangled by their partners were 7 times more likely to be victims of attempted homicide. Strangulation blocks the flow of oxygen to the brain, and while victims may seem unharmed, they may have internal injuries and may die days or weeks later. Because of the psychological trauma resulting from strangulation, victims may also attempt suicide. HB 14 also closes some loopholes in the current legislation with regards to non-consensual contact with the ejaculate matter. As illustrated by the Snyder case, it is imperative for the safety of Alaskans that this loophole be closed. Non-consensual contact is traumatizing, even more so when it is unpunished by legislation. In summary, HB 14 is supported by 49th Rising, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions. Next, I've got actually here in the room Carmen Lowry here in Juneau. Ms. Lowry, if you want to come forward.
Hey, hello. For the record, my name is Carmen Lowry, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. We are a membership-based organization comprised of 24 community-based organizations providing life-saving services to victims and survivors, oftentimes other family members of domestic violence and sexual assault. I'm here today to say that the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, we fully support HB 14. I'm going to just briefly talk about some issues around strangulation, and I also want to talk a bit about the impact of expanding the definition of sexual contact to include coming into contact with ejaculate without consent. I want to first, though, start off by thanking Representative Lincoln for his leadership on bringing these issues to the forefront. I want to thank the committee for providing an opportunity to talk about these issues. The more that we talk about sexual violence and what all that entails, the more that we do to dispel with the culture of silence that makes it sometimes difficult to talk about what it means to experience sexual violence, about what it means to perpetrate sexual violence. I want to also just put into the record that when I come to this table right now, and in particular talking about legislation that has been introduced by Representative Lincoln, I also bring and am very mindful that a lot of this legislation is being brought to the forefront because of victims, because of survivors. And in particular, we all were referencing, and know there's a reference to the Snyder case, but there's also a reference to Ashley Johnson Barr, and she was the little girl who died in Kotzebue. And whereas sometimes it's survivors who bring things to the forefront, this one was a victim. And I am particularly compelled to speak her name because, for one thing, I referenced her in an article that we posted about strangulation. And I called her parents before I did, and I talked to her father. And he told me, he said, and it was about 2 days afterwards, and he said, you can mention her name. And he said, and I want you to tell people that we really hope that somebody will help us, that somebody will step in. And so for all of you all, I want to say thank you for that.
You had about 2.5 minutes. If you could conclude your remarks, that'd be great.
Thank you. I want to conclude by saying that it's wonderful to see that strangulation is being recognized for its impact. It only takes 10 seconds for someone to put some kind of pressure, and that stops, brings about someone to be unconscious. 10 seconds. And then finally, the whole notion of making coming into contact with ejaculate without consent is a critical piece because of the fear and the intimidation that is brought about when someone may be masturbating or someone ejaculates without your consent. You never know what might be some of the other kind of actions that would occur. Thank you very much, and I am open to any questions if you have any.
Thank you very much. I actually don't see any questions, but thank you for testifying. Next, it looks like online. Wait a minute. There she is. Marilyn Castile calling from Dillingham. Ms. Castile, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, and just make sure you're not on a speakerphone, and we try to have public testimony at 2 minutes, but you can proceed. Just let us know your name.
Thank you. I'm at the LIO office, and they have a Polycom here, so my name is Marilyn Castile from Dillingham, and I work for Safe and Free and Fear-Free Environment. Good afternoon, Chair Matt Klayman. My name is Marilyn Castile from Dillingham, Alaska. And I am Alaska Native, and I am a survivor of domestic violence and sexual assault. So, statistically speaking, according to the 2000 Alaska Victimization Survey for the Bristol Bay region, I am one of 50% adult women in Bristol Bay who has experienced intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or both in my lifetime. I am also the executive director of Safe and Fear-Free Environment. Safe is one of 24 members of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. In fiscal year 2018, Safe provided sex abuse services to 193 adults and 36 children in the Bristol Bay region. We are in support of House Bill number 14. I would like to touch on some important factors why we support this bill. This bill recognizes the lethality and impact of the strangulation, specifically in sex cases, which will allow sentencing to be a part of the factors considered when strangulation is a component of the case. This bill also recognizes that other body parts can be used and considered a dangerous instrument as well. It is sound and right to include ejaculating on someone without their consent as a sex offense. And if convicted of this sex offense, they should be required to register as a sex offender. As I sit here thinking about my testimony, I think about myself and other victims of traumatic sex offenses. It's good to know that I am a strong Alaska Native woman who is able to speak on behalf of all victims of violence who cannot be here today for one reason or another. House Bill 14 makes sense and addresses deficiencies in our sexual assault laws. HB is a sound policy, and we are in support of this bill. Thank you so much for allowing me to testify on behalf of the many other victims that cannot and do not have a voice in this matter. So thank you so much for bringing this up.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions. I don't see anyone else on the calling in list to testify. Is there anyone else here in the room that would like to testify on House Bill 14? Hearing and seeing no one here in the room or online, I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 14. That brings us back to questions of members of the committee. Are there questions for the bill sponsor or his staff? Hearing and seeing none. You will be, Representative Eastman, you got to get quick or we're going to gavel out.
Is there a representative from the Department of Law we can ask questions of?
Ms. Schroeder, are you available for questions on the bill?
Thank you. And through the chair, curious to know, how will the word contact be defined in this statute? I'm looking particularly on page 2, line 23, where we're talking about coming into contact with ejaculate. And is that contact, does it have to be direct, or can it be some other type of contact? How will it be interpreted?
And just note for purpose of the question, the section he's referring to actually refers to sexual contact, not contact, but I think you probably knew that.
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. Contact itself, through the chair to Representative Eastman, contact itself would be defined as it is in Webster's Dictionary, and that would mean touching, essentially touching in some way. But it's, to be clear, it's touching with the substance that is named here in the bill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Follow-up?
Representative Eastman.
And just a little bit further on page 2, up at line 11, could you explain to me why there is that subsection B? I mean, I'm looking at subsection A, and it's talking about any deadly weapon or anything, you know, that could be used to render someone unconscious or kill them. And I'm wondering what is the significance of having this subsection B that we are now amending? Why doesn't everything in B already captured in A, for example?
And so actually, Representative Eastman, I think you're really asking a question for the bill sponsor. The Department of Law is not the bill sponsor, so I'm more than happy to have the bill sponsor or their staff answer your question about why they answered it that way. But I don't see this as a directed to the Department of Law. If you want to ask the Department of Law the question about how they choose to interpret it, that's fine. But I don't think they can speak to the maker of the bill, Mr. Representative.
No, I'd like to know the Department of Law's perspective on what the significance of B is and if B is already subsumed in A. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, are you talking about the new language in B or subsection B in,
oh, I'm
in
talking
its entirety?
About everything in B.
It's an entirety. Through the chair, Representative Eastman, that language was added a number of years ago specifically to target strangulation. While it may appear upon initial reading that A may cover that, there was some debate about whether that would be covered. And rather than litigate that issue, we decided to ask the legislature to change the law and make it clear that hands could be a dangerous instrument.
Thank you very much.
Representative Ledoux.
Ms. Schroeder, has that just answered the question that I was going to ask? Or Representative Eastman articulated the question that, and Ms. Schroeder answered it.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So through the chair, as this language goes forward, and I'm particularly looking back again at lines 22 and 23 on page 2, the part where we're talking about coming into contact, how do we distinguish in the law the unwanted sexual contact from some type of consensual sexual contact? And I'm trying to figure out, here in the statute, what that's going to look like. I know in some jurisdictions there's a great deal of detail into expressing consent for any type of sexual event. And there's, almost a line by line, do you consent to this? Do you consent to that? And I'm wondering, does this language that we're now adding, does that fall under a general consent?
Thank you, Representative Eastman. That's your minute. I think he got some kind of a question. You can answer it best you can.
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, our sexual assault statutes in Alaska require the conduct to be without consent, and without consent has a specific definition in statute, and it means with or without resisting, the victim is coerced by the use of force against person or property, or by the express or implied threat of death, imminent physical injury, or kidnapping to be inflicted upon anyone, or if the victim is incapacitated by the actions of the defendant. That is a specific definition in statute, and if that definition is not met, we cannot charge sexual assault.
Thank you very much.
Representative Ledoux.
Just trying to figure out how to say this. So if somebody were to, ejaculate into somebody's handbag, would this statute cover that?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, the statute in particular is referencing the sexual assault statutes, which again would have to be without consent, which would require some force. And in your hypothetical, I don't see any force in that hypothetical, so I don't think it would qualify.
Even if it's without consent?
Follow up. Go ahead.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, without consent in Alaska has a specific definition in statute, which requires the victim to be coerced through the use of force. And in your hypothetical, I don't see any coercion or force being used on the victim there.
It would just be disgusting without being necessarily illegal.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, it might fall under the harassment statute, which is with the intent to harass or annoy. That seems like that might be the statute we would look at in that situation.
Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm remembering back to an unfortunate incident where a friend and I were on a tour in a prison, and someone from one of the cells above us on a higher floor threw down what certainly seemed to meet this definition on a friend that was with us on the tour. And I'm curious to know, in that situation, how would the law apply? Would that be illegal? Would that person now have to register as a sex offender? What would be the legal ramifications?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, in order for it to be a sexual assault, there needs to be some use of force or threat of force. I don't see that present in your hypothetical. That would be more akin to harassment in the first degree, which actually was enacted for that very reason. There was correctional officers that approached the legislature and asked them to deal with the things that were being thrown on them during the course of their job. So that would harassment in the first degree is an A misdemeanor. It is not a sex offense. It does not require registration. And that would be the statute we would look at in that situation.
Thank you very much.
I see no other questions. We will be holding this bill for further review, and we will be now adjourning for the day. Our next meeting is scheduled for Friday, March 22nd at 1:30 p.m., which will follow the law and the Judiciary Finance Subcommittee meetings, which I believe are scheduled for noon. And I think Representative Josephson indicated the hope that we would actually get through those subcommittees a little more rapidly than we got through them today. And with that, we will stand adjourned. It is now 2:44 p.m.